At this time, we're going to be going into our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word. And that's exactly what we're going to be trying to do here, to hear what it is God would be saying to us. Because we can make no mistake, when God's Word is read, when God's Word is spoken about, He is speaking, not just to you, but even to me, that we would open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our hearts to receive what it is that God has for us, and that we would take that next step that He is calling us out into. And as we go into this time, you know, today is obviously a very special day. And so I thought it would be apt to talk about the specialness of this day today, in this time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word. Because as we start our call to worship, the word of the Lord couldn't be more clear on this. Ephesians 6, 1-3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." And Paul's correct. This was the first commandment that attached this promise, that it may go well with you in the land. And I know last year on Mother's Day, I talked a little bit about what that meant and why that was important and why that was significant. And it was one of those things where what we realize is when we take care of our parents, guess who sees it? Our children. And guess what they're going to do when we need someone to take care of us? They're going to follow in the footsteps that we disciple them in. All the more reason we should be discipling them in Christ, and it truly will go well with us into that land that we are to possess. But even without the promise, even without this wonderful promise that it would go well with you in the land that you are to possess, we should do this anyways. We should honor, we should obey, we should respect our mothers. Not just because, once again, this is the first commandment for promise, but because our moms are pretty special ladies. When you really think about it, special isn't even a word that comes close to who God has made them to be, because God made you, Mama, special. And God indeed uses you for a very special purpose and calling in this life. Ever since the first mother and every mother since, God uses moms in powerful and wonderful ways, even those spiritual mothers. I can think of many women of the faith who came alongside me whenever I was younger, as a mentor, as a guide. They came alongside my mama and helped her as a mentor and guide. Even spiritual mothers, you're special. You're important. You matter. These wonderful women who come alongside and care for someone other than their own. Now, in my more arrogant days, and I mean last week, I said it a joke, and I want to preface, this was a joke, and I was not serious in any manner whatsoever. Nevertheless, I had a harsh reminder in this joke, in particular of how special moms truly are. You know, I was talking to my mom, we were talking about what I would get her for Mother's Day, and I already knew what I had got her for Mother's Day. In fact, it was in our bedroom. I was about ready to go get it from Jeanette to bring it out to my mom and give it to her, but I said, you know what, Mom? There wouldn't be a Mother's Day if it wasn't for me. So the gift I give you this year is the gift of me. I was quickly reminded. I was quickly reminded. Boy, I brought you into this world, I can take you out, you better do better. I was quickly reminded of that, something that had been said many times during my childhood in our home to remind me of who I was and who she was. She was my mother. And even though we were just joking around like we normally do in our home, it's a way that we show love to one another. God struck me in that moment. It got me thinking, you know what? There wouldn't be a Mother's Day without her. My mom made a very difficult decision. She chose life. She She chose to bring me into this world all by herself. And I am so thankful and grateful for you, Mom. That's not an easy choice to make. It's a difficult one to make, to choose to bring life into this world, to choose to bring all that pain on yourself. And I'm not talking about childbearing, but simply the pain of being a mother. Because being a mom is difficult. It's challenging, especially when you have to raise a child like me. It takes a lot to raise a child. And that's why God gives us mothers and fathers to help us do just this. However, there's something really special about moms. And without moms, we would have no children. Now I can hear some of the fathers and they say, well, what about us? It's Mom's Day. Let her have it. You'll get your day. It's coming. But let's talk about that specialness. Let's talk about that wonderful nature that God put into moms. Do we need to mention it? We enter this world through our mom. It is through our mother's womb by God's design. We are nourished, literally nourished, and nurtured and provided for by God's design through our moms. The simple point is, by God's design, we need mom. It is no wonder why the first mother ever in the world's name was Eve. Eve, a name given to her by Adam, her husband, who was tasked by God to name all the things in all of creation. In Genesis 3:20, it says, the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And that is what the name Eve means, mother of all living. But it also has a dual meaning in Hebrew. It means life giver. And isn't that who mom is? She is a life giver as she takes the life that God had given her and shares that life with another. She shares that life. In comparison to Adam's name, we can see the significance God gave mom. You know what Adam's name means? Does anybody know it? It means son of the dirt. Son of the red earth, actually. That's what it literally means, man of earth. It is clear by God's design that there's something special about mom. In fact, moms are not just important. Moms, by God's design, are essential to life. In this, it is no wonder God would enter this world through a mom. He would enter this world through Mary, another wonderful mom. And from Eve throughout the Bible to Mary throughout all of history and in our very lives, we can see being a mom is no easy job. It is difficult to be mom. Let's just think about Eve for a little bit. Adam and Eve bring sin into this world through their shortcoming. And Eve is the first mom ever to be bereaved of her children. She is the first mom to ever experience the death of her child. And it was because of the sin that her and her husband brought into the world. Talk about mom guilt. Talk about mom guilt. Not even being bereaved of her child, but having to face the fact that another one of her children was the one who took the life of her other child. As Cain killed Abel, as it says in Genesis 4:8, Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Could you even imagine that? Being Eve, I can't. You experience the wonder and perfection of the Garden of Eden. You experience all the gloriousness of God. You walked with God day in and day out. And then all of a sudden, the garden was taken away. And creation began to decay. To the point that you would witness the death of a beloved son by the hands of another beloved son. From that point, seeing it go even further and further into decay, seeing the suffering and pain of your children, You want to know the amazing thing about Eve is? She still chose to say yes to be a mom. As she continued to bear and raise children in this world, because even though creation was in a continual downward spiral of decay, and she could see it, remember, she experienced Eden, she remembered the promise. The promise that God gave her whenever he punished Adam and her and the serpent. The promise where he says in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, speaking of the serpent that tricked Eve. And between your offspring and her offspring, he shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. And as Michael Scott says in The Office, what's more serious, a head injury or a foot injury? The solution. God promises the solution. The solution to disorder, the very method of returning things back to Eden, the way things were meant to be, the way things should have been all along, that a child would come and crush the serpent's head once and for all. And just a side note, on behalf of my son, he told me a joke this week. He told me a really funny joke. And he said, you know why the serpent has no arms and legs? I was like, oh, because God took him away in the garden. He's like, well, more importantly, you need to understand, Dad. The serpent has no arms and legs because God sent Jesus, and Jesus defeated him and disarmed him. And isn't that the truth? And Jesus does this by bringing Jesus through a woman who would gain that wonderful title, Mom. There was the promise, and years would go by. Years would go by, but you know what the Israelites would do? They would pass on this promise to generation and generation and generation to come. They would pass on to their daughters and tell them of the promise that God is bringing the Messiah. It could come through you. God is going to bring the Messiah, and he will come through a mom. And God does just this. God brings Jesus. Born of another mother, her name, Mary, a very important mother who is also known as the Mother of God, for she is Jesus' mother. This was not an easy road for her. For when the angel came to her in Luke 1:28 and gave her the word, when he said, and he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. And then explained to her that she would be impregnated, that she would conceive and bear a child through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to remember, Mary was probably 13 years old at this point. She was still a very young woman. And not only that, she wasn't married. In this culture, that's liable to get you stoned, especially if you're betrothed to be married and then end up pregnant. But what's Mary's response? Luke 1:38. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. She surely knew this wasn't going to be. She surely knew that there would be troubles, there would be scoffers, there would be people wagging their head at her. Look what Mary did. There would be people that wouldn't believe her story. Sure, an angel came to you in a dream. I know that's what Joseph says, but come on, Mary, come on. Just tell us the truth. She knew all the dirty glances everyone would give her, but she chose to. She chose to say yes, despite the pain and difficulty this would be. Not to mention, she would be the mother of Jesus, who is the Son of God, God in the flesh. Let's not even, do we need to mention where Mary had to give birth? Without midwives, without any assistance of anyone else other than her husband. The first bed that she had to lay this baby in, this baby Jesus, in a feeding trough made for animals. Let's not forget also what happens shortly after the birth of Jesus, where she has to run with her husband Joseph for their lives because the governor of the region was seeking to kill all the Israelite children who were 2 years and younger to try to end the king before his reign began. Interesting or not, Jesus' reign began the moment Mary said, yes. Do we need to be even reminded of that time in the temple from Luke chapter 2, 41 through 50, that time where Mary lost Jesus? Can you picture that for a minute? Have you ever forgot a child somewhere? It happens to people sometimes. Mary lost Jesus. Could you imagine how that would have been? You losing the Son of God? That's a pretty big deal. Here's what Luke 2, 41 through 50 says. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, searching for him for 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. Now, of course, the very next verse says this, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart." Could you even begin to put yourself in Mary's shoes in that moment? You're looking for your child, and this is just not any ordinary child. This is Jesus we're talking about. You're looking for Jesus for 4 days. You left him in the most populous city in the area, and he's lost. I don't know about you, but I would be in sheer panic. And I think we see that sheer panic in Mary when it says that they were looking for him with great distress. Even more so, beyond this, that difficulty of being a mom that Mary experienced, do we even have to mention the crucifixion of Jesus? Do we even have to mention the cross? That Mary would bear witness to that moment. Now, there was a movie that came out a long time ago, and there's a clip from that movie you can look up. It's from The Passion of the Christ, and I encourage you, if you have some time, it's one of the less gory clips. You can look this clip up, and you just type in Google, "The Passion, Behold, I Make All Things New." And it's a 2-minute video on YouTube, and I really suggest taking some time today to see it, because it really, for me, I believe captures how Mary must have felt. It's the scene where Jesus is carrying his cross through the streets, and he falls over. He falls down. Of course, this is in the canonical part of the Gospels, and Mary comes rushing up to him. But before she starts rushing up to him, as the Roman soldiers are beating him, it takes a flashback to when Jesus was a little boy. We often forget, Jesus was a boy. He was a 12-year-old, obviously. And he went off on his own, just like some kids like to wander even today. He was a little boy who fell down and bumped his knee. And you see this little boy who represents Jesus rolling on the ground crying because he hurt himself. And Mary comes rushing up to Jesus up, like any mother would their child who is injured or hurt. And she comes running to Jesus at the cross, and she says, "Child, I'm here." Knowing good and well, there's nothing she could do for her son. There's nothing she could do for Jesus. There's not enough mommy kisses to heal his boo-boos and his wounds. But she was there and the agony and torment you see in her when Jesus says, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he picks that cross back up and carries on. I love this scene because it truly shows us the heart of a mother. It shows us also the suffering of a mother. And it reminds us more of the reward of a mother whenever Mary gets to bear witness to her son conquering the grave. Because we know that Jesus died on the cross, but 3 days later he rose again. 3 days later he conquered sin and death once and for all. 3 days later he defeated and disarmed the serpent once and for all and crushed his head. Crushed. Just like God promised Jesus would do all the way back in Genesis to Eve. God brings Jesus into this world through a mother. And there is a perfect illustration, a perfect image that shows this that I'd like to show you. I know I've shown this before, but I think it perfectly captures what God has done. And he's done it through two. He's done it in each and every mom who passed on the story. And he's doing it in you today, mom, as you pass on the hope that is in Jesus Christ to your children and to their children. As you spiritual mothers continue to carry on the tradition that you were taught, that you learned, and you were brought up in, either by your mom or a spiritual mom, as you continue to remind them, the devil's defeated. Jesus is one. Never underestimate your value, mom. Never underestimate what it is that God has created you for. You're not just special. You're so much more than special. You're especially created and essential in God's plan for the redemption of all of humanity. And you matter. And in those nights where you may feel like you don't know this, you matter. You're important. God didn't just create you to be special. He created you to be essential. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. And in this, I'm going to tell you to do something no pastor has ever said from the pulpit. I want you to pull out your cell phone if you have a cell phone. And think about a mama in your life that could use a word of encouragement today. It might be your mama. It might be another mama. Think about a mama, even a spiritual mama in your life, that you can text right now a word of encouragement. Just say, I want you to know that you're not just special. You're essential to my life and others' lives. You're essential. You're a friend that came alongside me in my time of need. You know, I was in desperation as a mama, but you came alongside me and helped me. I was in desperation as a father, but you came along and showed me what I needed to do. Take your phone out and take some time as we hear and respond to this message from God's word. And let that special mama know she matters. She matters more than she could ever imagine, that she was created for this. She's not just the life giver, or I'm sorry, she's not just the mother of all living, she is the life giver of all living. As God uses each and every one of you special ladies to not only bring forth life, but to give life through the life that God has given. Take some time today to let those ladies know they matter. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord